Alexander Howard. He is with the Sunlight Foundation. Let's begin with Walter Schaub. He quit last week. Why do you think he left his post before his term expired, Alexander Howard?
Well, Mr. Schaub has been fairly outspoken about that in terms of him finding working within an administration that is not hewing to ethics in government. He's given multiple interviews since releasing his resignation letter to national outlets. He's on Twitter if people want to go directly to see what he is saying. But he's making it very clear that the administration and specifically the president is not holding himself subject to federal ethics laws. Indeed, he's pointing out that there is a loophole in our ethics regimen in the United States for the president. And for decades, we've had presidents who embrace some transparency in terms of disclosing their taxes and accountability in terms of being fully open with the American people about their assets, their liabilities, their debts, their investments, so that the public can have confidence that our nation's highest official in the executive branch is putting the public interest before the private interest. And instead of that situation, we have a president who has kept hundreds of businesses around the world, which all represent conflicts of interest, for the nation's top ethics official. That presents a conundrum. And we saw the unprecedented statements that went out both in the Office of Government Ethics Twitter account at the beginning of the administration and the statements that Mr. Schaub made at the Brookings Institute regarding the wholly unsatisfactory steps that Mr. Trump had proposed for his finances. And that's where we are. There's a cloud that's hanging over the White House. We work right next to it, and we see it bathe in sunshine or bathe in darkness, depending upon the time of day and the atmosphere. But metaphors aside, this has created the appearance of corruption in a way that cannot be brushed away. And if we saw this in any other nation's president, we'd be very straightforward in calling it out as well.
Well, the president said that he would release his taxes. He has not. He said he would put his business in a blind trust. He has not. Does that necessarily mean that any kind of nefarious activity is going on?
Well, unfortunately, this president has an unprecedented record of mendacity in office for modern life. There's no one else who has said more disprovably false statements, I think, in a six-month span in our modern history. And his administration's promises to do things can no longer be taken at face value, which is very difficult for anyone working in the space that we do. We have been used to White House statements being careful, measured, and provable, to fact sheets being full of facts, to presidents not saying things in public because they can move markets and affect investigations, unless those statements have been carefully weighed. That is not, quite obviously, the situation the American public is looking at in 2017.
877-217-5757 is your number, and talk@talklouisiana.org if you'd like to send us an email. We're visiting with Alexander Howard of the Sunlight Foundation. How does all this dovetail with yesterday's bombshell regarding Donald Trump Jr.?
Well, the other cloud that is hanging over the administration, which the whole world is watching spool out, is what exactly happened in last year's presidential election with respect to the campaign's knowledge of or even involvement of Russia's influence campaign to sway our election. We have the assessment of multiple parties in and outside of government that Russia and Russian related actors tried to delegitimize our election, cast doubt upon our electoral process and the integrity of the process, create a crippled presidency for President Clinton, and then indeed to try to move the election wholly over to Mr. Trump. And there is enough evidence that I can state that to you and your listeners with certainty. The question that we don't know is to what extent the campaign, its officials, and indeed even the president knew of what was being done and or communicated with the agents and the people involved in doing it, the extent there was any coordination or collusion. What we have here is evidence shared by the president's son himself that he took a meeting eagerly with a Russian lawyer known to be close to the Kremlin who was offering information that would be useful to incriminate former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. Now, at minimum, that is ethically noxious. When you see other American patriots involved in campaigns, if you have a foreign national coming to you with information about your opponent, you go to the FBI with that. That is what is ethical.
Well, and that's what Al Gore did in 2000 when his campaign received confidential debate materials belonging to the Bush campaigns. But the president didn't do that, the president we have now. Does that necessarily mean that it is some kind of criminal violation?
I think that the actions that were taken raise the prospect for potential and legal violations. It is true that it is illegal under campaign finance law to solicit or receive information, something of value, from a foreign national that you use against an opponent. We have here a meeting with the campaign chairman at the time, president's son-in-law and his son, with someone who is offering this kind of information. And then we have a statement by Donald Trump himself to the public regarding information that would be coming out about Secretary Clinton not long after. That is a progression of events that certainly should raise doubts, just in the same way that we highlight the issues around the appearance of corruption regarding the president's choice not to disclose and to divest, as other presidents do, from his businesses, which create insoluble conflicts of interest between public business and his private business. He's monetizing the presidency in an unprecedented way. This also creates certainly the appearance of some level of involvement. Now, the extent to which it's illegal or not, the extent to which these things did or did not occur, is something that is up for conjecture. We, like many other Americans, are waiting to see what the special prosecutor says and what they have. Obviously, they have significant more legal and technical tools at their fingertips than the New York Times does.
All right.
And so we're still waiting to learn more. Certainly, the legal liability here is clear in terms of criminal or civil violations of laws. There are larger issues which have been lobbied about in the partisan world regarding espionage or even the broader issues. We think that some of the most extreme allegations regarding treason are just that, unlikely. We're not in a hot war with Russia. You know, this is not revolutionary times or the Civil War. But at minimum, this is an ethics violation, and we're here to talk about ethics, so imagine that's why I came up.
Well, what about the tax returns? What, in your estimation, would they show? What do you think is in there that might be revealing regarding the president and his business dealings?
Well, what we know is that the president won't disclose them. We don't know why. We can make guesses about it. The campaign and the president and his lawyers have repeatedly stated financial disclosure is enough, and that is simply not true. Financial disclosure forms give you some significant information: outside income, gifts you've received, assets or property owned, any specific investments or trusts, some conflicts of interest. Here's some music on your sound there.
Well, we're going to take a short break.
Listen, I think, you know, the double standard is upsetting. I mean, you see it every day. I mean, we tune in, obviously. We were probably junkies before, and now it's a lot harder to not take it personally, and you try to do it. And, you know, I'd love to rant and rave about it, but candidly right now, with everything that's going on, I think that people see it. I think they're, you know, they're starting to get it. And I think the mainstream media has probably done themselves, you know, a pretty big disservice by going so far, by going so extreme, by being so sensational. And I think it's pushing regular people away because they want to see what my father campaigned on. They want to see jobs. They want to see the numbers that he's putting up. You know, the stock market keeps breaking hits. We have the all-time highest employment in the country in terms of overall numbers. All these things, you know, that he promised he would do, they're happening. They're actually happening. And that's not getting any coverage. And that's a real shame. That's a real disservice to the people of this country.
Well, I agree with you. And I agree. I think the forgotten men and women.
All right. That's enough, Allie. The national media are under attack from the president and his son and many others affiliated with the president of the United States, Alexander Howard. Do you think the media are being fair to President Trump?
I think that the depiction of the media is not useful. We have an extraordinarily diverse and heterogeneous set of outlets in the United States. Our press is the wonder of the free world in many ways, supported by the development of professional institutions of news gathering that offer verification and context to reports. We have, I think, despite surveillance and the use of the Espionage Act against leakers, still one of the best conditions for reporting. We've been very clear about this. The White House should be protecting and defending the essential role of journalism and the democracy in democracy everywhere, not using its bully pulpit or much less the President of the United States, describing different outlets as fake news. There are lots of different outlets out there. There's no monolithic media. I think it's fair to say that Fox News is a mainstream media outlet. There are conservative papers, at least in terms of their editorial pages, that are in the mainstream. There, of course, are also progressive ones and libertarian ones. The broadcast media outlets have certain kinds of agendas and ways they talk about things and tend to swarm to stories in a way that draw attention and therefore ratings. There are certainly advertising supporting outlets that have incentives to get attention and ratings and to depict things in certain ways. You know, as you famously know, as a talk show host, you know, putting anything that leads the news in local markets as well. And it is certainly true that there are many good stories about civil servants and public servants and government officials doing the public's business in an ethical way. It is disingenuous of this president and his family to continue attacking the media and journalists for doing their jobs, holding them to account. The amount of attention and scrutiny someone receives can and should be proportionate to the power they wield in our society. If you want to be president, you take the oath of office, you accept that. Every day, you're going to get beat up in the press.
Well, the CNN listener notes correctly fired three prominent reporters, veterans, decorated reporters for an erroneous report on that network a few weeks ago. Does that give credence to the president's belief, or his stated belief, that the media are out to get him?
It undermines his very premise. An organization ran a report based on a single anonymous source that they had to retract. They then told the public that had happened. They retracted the story. They apologized and held the people who made that choice accountable, with them actually resigning from their jobs. No quote-unquote fake news outlet would do that. Propaganda and tabloids and other places routinely publish things that are not true or half true and do not correct them, do not fire people, do not accept transparent penalties in the marketplace for trust in their brand for that.
Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Good morning, Phil. You're on Talk Louisiana with our guest from the Sunlight Foundation, Alexander Howard. Hi, Phil.
Hi, Jim. Good morning, Mr. Howard. First of all, thank you. I mean, just a lot of I was going to call my questions. Basically, you've been answering things that were coming up. But I would ask you this. I mean, it seems to me that the reporting by the New York Times and the Washington Post, which are pretty much the official papers of record in our country, have been the ones bringing this story out. I mean, these revelations wouldn't have come out without that reporting.
Thank you, Phil. The New York Times and the Washington Post have done some outstanding work. In fact, this Trump Jr. story, it would never have seen the light of day if it were not for the New York Times. Certainly the Trump campaign has had more than a year to reveal this, but only did so after it was reported by the New York Times. So on the whole, I gather what you're saying, Alexander, is that the media do a great service for our country.
That's correct. You know, we often talk about the media being the fourth estate. And the reality is that journalists are the immune systems for democracy. They find things that may be at issue. And traditionally, we've seen support for the free press be a bipartisan value, a nonpartisan value, something that we speak up for in every context. You know, we don't just focus upon the United States. We focus upon democracy writ large. The ingredients that make that work. They create governments of, by, and for the people, increasingly with the changes in technology, with the people. And journalists and journalism is a key part of that, particularly for some of the goals that our friends in the Republican Party care about. Finding fraud, finding waste, finding corruption, finding criminality, being a nervous system for a given polity that informs the public about how power is being wielded. Anybody who is being honest knows that journalists tell you what's happening that people in power don't want you to know. And that's true regardless of what party the people are in power.
Where do you think this investigation is going? Is it going to at some point peter out? And as noted, the president has the power to fire the special counsel. He has the power to pardon anybody involved, including his son and his son-in-law. What do you think will happen when all is said and done?
So in this case, you're referring to the investigation by the special counsel's office of the Department of Justice?
Yes, I am. Yes.
There are multiple investigations happening in Washington right now, including those in the House and the Senate. Look, we don't know. And that's actually something very important for, I think, people who are consuming news accounts with the appropriate amount of skepticism, is to look for reporters and editors and outlets who will say, this is what we know and this is what we don't know. We don't have special insight or inside knowledge into what's happening within that investigation. We may have colleagues, friends, other people within the Wall Street Journal or the papers that were referenced or other places where someone has significant sources within the FBI that might give them additional insight. However, this is the kind of investigation that should have some considerable amount of secrecy around it. In general, Sunlight pushes for public information to be open by default, for public policy to be open to the public by default, hearings, notices, laws, regulations, and indeed, when this is done, we hope to see a full open accounting of what our critical institution, our Department of Justice and Federal Bureau of Investigation have found about this that will give us some kind of national resolution to what has become one of the most defining issues in this young century.
All right.
What did Russia do? What did Trump do? And we don't know yet.
We thank you for joining us today. Alexander Howard of the Sunlight Foundation, it's been a pleasure. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
And a few emails as we part company this after this morning. David writes, as embattled as our president is, I suspect he'll either not run or not be elected again. And AJ says, I know plenty of Louisiana conservative sailors and fishermen who find this administration's anti-climate change stance absolutely repugnant. We have an entire population of Native Americans here in Louisiana that have to be relocated due to the rising sea. Add to that, they are cutting the revenue from offshore drilling for Louisiana and slashing NOAA. It seems like Trump is running from reality. We'll talk more tomorrow. Thanks for joining us. Stay tuned.